You are about to enjoy a production of the Ella Wellness Network. This is Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, and I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to the Wellness Sisterhood. We can help our metabolism, our aesthetic, our body composition goals just by being more intentional with our breath work. Welcome back to the Wellness Big Sister podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Vick, a board certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy, and then also a pelvic floor physical therapist and the owner of the Ella Wellness Sisterhood. And we've been doing a series all about metabolism, glucose regulation, how the body is just so magical and how it regulates all of these pathways. And so today we're going to dive into a few more of those factors that feed into our blood glucose, including internal stress. So how we're sensing stress internally, in addition to external stress in the form of environmental toxins. So it's going to be a fun episode. We're going to dive into some of the science, of course. But before we do that, I have an exciting announcement for the sisterhood, and we are doing a summer series of shorty workouts. So the shorty workouts are shorter workouts, as the name kind of implies, that are part of the sisterhood that are built for a time crunch, for travel, for just, they're shorter, right? So they're more targeted towards a certain body region. And they're just built for when you don't have a lot of time on your hands or for when you're traveling. And so since it is the summer, we're all doing sort of vacations, summer vacations, and hanging out with friends or whatever. I feel like the summer is just when sometimes it's harder to keep up with our own wellness routines. And so I decided to do this summer shorty series mixed with some of my favorite shorty workouts from the sisterhood. So I'm opening it up to everyone. It's completely free. So it'll start opening in July. So I'm signing everyone up right now. We are going to have workouts every week for 4 weeks, and it'll be open for a good amount of the summer. So it won't just be open for the 4 weeks. That way, if you have a vacation into August or later in the summer, not just in July, you're still able to get those workouts in. So it'll be super fun. Again, shorty workouts. So they're usually like 10 to 20 minutes. Some of them are 8, some of them are 15, some of them are closer to that 20 minute mark, but it's more built for take whatever time you can get and give it to your body and do it in a super targeted way. And so I'm super excited for this series, and I will leave the link in the show notes if you're interested in signing up. Again, it's completely free, super easy. Shorty workouts are some of the favorites for a lot of the people who are part of the Ella Wellness Sisterhood on the app. And so I'll leave the link. I hope you guys can join us because it's going to be a lot of fun and filled with some of my absolute favorite targeted workouts. So back to the series, we've talked about hot girl walks or mental clarity walks, or I heard recently from Bare Nutrition Health, she linked another creator who called them fart walks, which I absolutely loved. We've talked about fueling, we've talked about the microbiome, gut-brain axis, we've talked about light and sleep and all of those impacts on our blood glucose regulation. And again, if you're struggling with metabolism, if you're struggling with reaching your body composition goals, your aesthetic goals, the toning goals, like reaching whatever wellness goals you have for yourself, feeling more energized, less cravings, it's usually not one of these things all on its own. We like to focus on movement. We like to focus on the fueling. We like to focus on sleep. But some of the time it's these lesser known ones like stress management, like we'll talk about today, environmental toxins, again, like we'll chat about today, light, sunlight, and working on managing that blue light. So if you've missed any of those episodes, I highly recommend go back and listen to them. Short, sweet, to the point, but also giving the science behind blood glucose regulation and how we can reach whatever wellness goals we have by helping to manage our blood glucose levels. So we've done this quick overview every single episode of this series. So I'll brush over it again. I believe the hot girl walk episode, we did a little deeper dive. And then the last episode, which was the gut microbiome, the gut brain axis one, which I absolutely loved. It sort of linked the gut brain axis to a hinge date and gave a deeper explanation of the gut brain axis in more of modern day, like an example. So As far as a quick overview goes, when we eat food, carbohydrates, proteins, fats, we'll talk about the carbohydrates. Our body breaks down those carbohydrates into glucose molecules that get released into the bloodstream. Our blood glucose spikes, which cues certain molecules and certain hormones to be released in order to say, hey, our body needs to start handling this glucose level before it gets too high. Too high of blood glucose levels for too long of a period of time can lead to things like insulin resistance, where our body is not able to sense insulin well enough. It can lead to just a chronic inflammation where our mitochondria are overloaded because they're trying to manage this glucose and our body is not getting rid of it in an effective way. And so when our blood glucose levels are elevated, insulin's released, cueing the body to either utilize that blood glucose immediately to store it in short-term storage or to store it in long-term storage. And so we have a lot of different routes for managing those levels, but we want to do it in a healthy way and we want to reduce some of those spikes because those spikes is what can lead to cravings and, again, just sort of overworking our cells when they don't necessarily need to be overworked that way because we have all of these natural systems built in to help with our blood glucose management. And so in states of poor health, chronic inflammation, too high of blood glucose, our body starts to have to work a lot harder in order to maintain that metabolic health. And so the whole idea with this series is just diving into different factors that help to control those levels in ways that we can actually do ourselves before we end up with conditions like diabetes or prediabetes or things like that, because those are the types of conditions that we definitely want to stay away from. And if there's ways that we can manage it while we're young, while we're still in control, then why not learn more about it? And why not try and incorporate some of those things even now in our teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, earlier than when we're diagnosed and we realize that our cells have been overloaded for such a longer period of time. And so today, like I said, we're going to talk about ways that we can affect those blood glucose levels when it comes to stress management, both internally and then also in regards to environmental toxins. And so we'll start off with just this internal stress management. And so I'll remind you guys of one of my favorite systems in the body, the nervous system. And so we have this overarching autonomic nervous system, and this is our subconscious nervous system, and it's broken down into the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system. So again, this is all overview, but parasympathetic is that rest, digest, muscle recovery nervous system. So this is the one that we want active when it comes to digestion and when it comes to managing our, or helping to lower our blood glucose levels. The sympathetic nervous system, on the other hand, is not the bad guy. I feel like some of the time, the way we talk about the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight, makes it seem like the bad guy, but there's really no good or bad. We just want a healthy balance between these different parts of our autonomic nervous system. So the sympathetic nervous system is that fight or flight, that running from the bear. So that's when we want to elevate our blood glucose levels to give us that energy to run from the bear, to get out of that stressful situation, whatever it is, to perform that HIIT class, to go on that run. Like, we need that sympathetic nervous system active during exercise to help fuel ourselves and energize ourselves for that movement. And so both of those play an important role when it comes to stress and when it comes to glucose regulation. So when we are stressed, so when we are internally stressed, is what I'm talking about right now, we go into more of a sympathetic response. So more of that fight or flight response. And when that sympathetic nervous system is active, the hormone glucagon is released. And glucagon is sort of the antidote to insulin, right? So glucagon works to help mobilize glucose so that we can use it. So if our blood glucose levels go too low, glucagon helps out because it allows us to return that those glucose levels back to baseline. And so when we're in this stressful situation, whether or not we're running from a bear or performing a HIIT class or going through a workout or preparing for a test, glucagon is going to be cued in order to help us mobilize glucose to utilize for energy to help us run from the bear, right, in that fight or flight state. So we mobilize more glucose because that glucagon is released for energy. Cortisol is also higher, which helps us to mobilize even more glucose. And again, all of these components of our hormones, of our pancreas, of our nervous system are healthy, but we want a right balance. And so if we're in a sympathetic fight or flight state for too long, we start to get these chronic elevations of cortisol, of glucagon, chronic sort of cueing of our cells to utilize more glucose and to release more blood glucose into the bloodstream so that our cells and our body can utilize it for those stressful activities. So when our sympathetic nervous system is cued, the issue is that it's normally an all or nothing response, right? So I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. I can remember very clearly preparing for practical exams in physical therapy school. I would go in and you're performing in front of a professor and you're performing in front of a clinician or oftentimes people who are, you want to impress and you want to perform well because you want a good grade too, right? But my heart rate would increase. My breath rate would get a little bit more shallow. I would start to sense my body going into that sympathetic state because it's like, okay, we're sensing fear, anxiety. We're sensing that Kelsey needs the resources to help combat whatever she's about to experience. And my body sensing that I'm going to have to run from a bear, right? Because my stress levels are just increasing internally, even though it was just a practical situation and it was not life or death. The problem is our body protects us, and it's not a problem really. It's just, it goes to that all or nothing response. So we want to start to be more mindful of our sympathetic nervous system ramping up. So our body will respond similarly, whether or not we are in a life or death situation, or whether or not we're just about to go in for a practical, a stressful test, a meeting new people, going on a date, whatever it is. Like, those are definitely not life and death situations, but our body can oftentimes respond in a way that makes those seem like life and death situations and cue ourselves and our body to respond to that perception of a life and death situation. And so that includes mobilizing more glucose to utilize in the form of energy because we're having to run away from that bear, run away from that life or death situation, right? So a way to help combat this is just being more mindful of when our body is going more into that sympathetic state. So if we start to feel things like our heart rate increase, our blood pressure increase, our breathing rate become a little more shallow where we're sort of having more of a chestier breathing pattern rather than this like deeper diaphragmatic breathing, that's when we need to be more mindful of what we're actually sensing in our body and sort of tell our body and stop it before it gets into that super downward spiral where I like to think about it as being more curious about what our body is actually sensing rather than our body not being aware of it and our body immediately sensing that life or death situation, right? And so not that that sympathetic nervous system is bad or the response and the subsequent series of events of events that happens after the cueing of that sympathetic nervous system is bad, but if it's not necessary, we definitely don't want to spike our blood glucose levels any more than we have to if we're not actually needing those resources. And so I think it's important to be mindful during certain situations where if you are about to go meet a new friend, go on a first date, have a stressful test situation or practical, to think and be curious of your own emotions and be like putting a label to it. So like, what is this emotion that I'm sensing? Oh, it's anxiety. Like, I'm okay. I'm not in a stressful situation. It's a healthy anxiety because it means I care about this test that I'm going to do or that I'm about to go take this practical, or I care about these people that I'm about to meet or this date that I'm about to go on because so far I've really liked the person. So it's about being more mindful of it and almost mentally talking yourself through that situation and cueing your body that it's not this life or death situation. And so that's where breathwork can really help. And we'll dive into that a little bit more, but it's a way to voluntarily cue that parasympathetic nervous system during stressful situations where we don't necessarily need that all or nothing response from our sympathetic nervous system. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in sort of the application component where what can we actually do if our body is in this chronic level of stress, whether or not it's just a one-off event. That's what I've been chatting about most is like, okay, a practical, a first date, a meeting a group of friends for the first time. But there's also stressful circumstances that are just chronically stressful. You have a loved one that's sick and in and out of the hospital, or you're the one struggling with chronic illness or some sort of something that's out of your control for a lengthened period of time. So it's this chronic stressful situation too. It's when these stressful circumstances and this stressful experience starts to become more long-term, where we're not getting our body to be able to flip back between that sympathetic and that parasympathetic nervous system. We're stuck in that sort of sympathetic state. So there's definitely ways that we can combat that. And we'll get to those too, but breath work is one of them. And I know we've talked about it before. I'll put a link in there with a guided breath work as well, but I just think it's super cool. This is one of the reasons the body is so magical, is because we can utilize breath work in order to help voluntarily put our bodies into more of that parasympathetic rest, digest, muscle recovery state that helps us to better manage those blood glucose levels and our metabolism. So for the very last factor that we'll talk about in regards to blood glucose regulation and metabolism are what I call, and what are being called, environmental toxins, but more specifically obesogens. And obesogens is the term utilized to capture all of the toxins in our environment that can lead to obesity. And it's been researched and analyzed that about 15% of obesity can be contributed to these obesogens. And so it's not a small amount, right? Like 15% is a good chunk when we have all of these variables to consider. Things like exercise, fueling are also a part of this, but obesogens being 15%, it's something that causes me to want to take a look at my environment and take a look at what's in my own environment, in my own food and skincare and all of that, to see what can I sort of cleanse in order to help combat obesity, but also on a deeper level to help my metabolism. And so I think it's one of the hardest or the least talked about contributors to our metabolism, and one that's not very well known as far as what the physiology is surrounding how these environmental toxins affect our systems in our body. And so in general, these toxins can create hormonal imbalances. They can create changes in our genes, our DNA, our gene expression. It can cause changes in our fertility. So I don't like to say like infertility, but fertility changes. It can cause increased inflammation throughout our whole body, gut microbiome changes, which I feel like is one of the ways we've been hearing about it more and more. And so the mechanism in, again, this is, it's very newly studied as far as the impact that these chemicals have on obesity and our metabolism. And so they're just now diving into the pathways. And so it's a lot of hypotheses, a lot of animal studies, a lot of rat studies as far as what causes some of these things. And so in general, they're saying that these environmental toxins, these obesogens that are in our environment, mess up the way that our body is able to communicate with each other through all of these different pathways. So in that gut-brain axis episode, we mentioned that a release of one molecule signals the release of another and the release of another, which cues the brain to release another. So it's a lot of this communication between different levels in our body and in our nervous system, in our digestive system. Like all of these systems in our body communicate via like multiple different pathways. And so these environmental toxins sort of mess up that communication between all of these different systems in our body. And so it can increase fat cells, food intake, and again, it can alter our microbiome, in that these chemicals just affect the way that our body is able to sense carbohydrates, glucose elevation. It messes up with the pathway between how our body's able to sense those changes and then how to respond to it. And so again, it's not very well studied, but 15%. So it's something that we need to be aware of, and something that we need to sort of take inventory of in our own environments to be like, hey, what is in my environment that I can easily get rid of that can just help lower the contribution of obesogens to my own metabolic health? And this one is one that I struggle with, right? Because it's like, I mean, perfume. I literally put perfume on, and that's like an environmental toxin that can affect how my body's communicating with itself, right? And so I love perfume. I love all of these, like a pedicure, you know, gel nail polish, like all of these things, food, like our non-toxic stick, our non-toxic pans. So this is one is like really, really hard for me. And I feel like I've said that probably every single episode, but this one especially is pretty hard for me to do because you don't realize how much in your environment is actually a toxin. You don't actually think about it. Even, you know, candles or perfumes or the nonstick pans that we cook on. So I think one of the application ways that we can sort of like work to cleanse our environment of these obesogens and work to help our body's metabolic health is through like picking out one thing to sort of cleanse or one thing to detox. And I went over this on our sort of spring cleaning body detox series as well. But I think picking one thing that you're really going to focus on. So if that's no stick lined pans, like getting rid of those, clean skincare, limiting fragrance, candles, perfumes, cleaning supplies, getting rid of the like Lysol and doing more of a natural alternative that is not going to disrupt some of those communication pathways within our body. And so it's all very hard because it can all get very, very overwhelming, especially as I've been researching different things that I'm like, okay, how can I cut this out? How can I clear this out? Seed oils, all of these things that are in our food as well. And so it's something that I'm still working on, but knowing that it contributes to 15% of obesity and again, to our metabolic health, it's not just obesity, right? It's obesity is the consequence of poor metabolic health or is a consequence of poor metabolic health. But if they're termed obesogens and it's a 15% contributor, it's something that I want to pay more attention to myself, especially in the, like, as I'm starting to wean down all the candles, get rid of all of my fragrance, you know, I'm like utilizing all of it up. And it's something that I don't know if I'll be buying again because of now what I know in regards to like how it affects my metabolic health. And so that's for more environmental stressors, environmental toxins. As far as internal stress management, I mentioned the mindfulness check-in. So I think mindfulness check-ins, being aware of how you're feeling in a certain instance, like in that moment, but then also reflecting on that situation and on that circumstance to say, oh, even though my heart rate increased, my breathing got a little more shallow, my blood pressure was elevating, I was sensing excitement, not fear or not anxiety. I didn't have to run from the bear, right? And so, and I say run from the bear, but like a life or death situation. Like I think running from the bear, just that's what I always think of when I think of sympathetic nervous system. But being more mindful, being more present, setting different intentions. Like if you're about to go into a stressful environment, into a practical, reading a Bible verse, meditating on that Bible verse, praying a little bit, saying, Kelsey, you're going to try to do 5 breaths every hour as you're leading up to this stressful exam or this stressful meeting up with new people that you've never met before or a date, whatever, if that's what your stressful situation is. Curiosity check-in. This kind of goes into both of those where it's not necessarily judging yourself for feeling a certain way, but just being more curious about what you're feeling and what you're sensing within your body. And so I go back to the practical example, like me in PT school going to a practical, but being curious on why is my heart rate increased? Why is my breath rate getting more shallow? And it was truly because I cared about that practical. I cared about doing well. I cared about making a great grade on it in order to get my license and get my degree and just be the best PT that I could be, right? And so it was really a good stress situation, but I never wanted it to become chronic. And so being just more curious about what your body's telling you. Then the last two I have on here is definitely like an ode to my physical therapy side, but breath work and then also a nervous system flow or a nervous system check-in. And I'll link both in the show notes because we have both on the Sisterhood and both of them, I believe, are part of the free access for the Sisterhood. So they're awesome resources. But one is sort of a guided breath work meditation nervous system, like calming a little bit. So cueing more into that parasympathetic nervous system and performing more of that diaphragmatic breathing in a very precise way in order to cue that rest, digest, parasympathetic nervous system and help our body understand that it can switch between the two rather than being stuck in this chronically sympathetic heightened state. And then the nervous system flow involves movement. So a lot of time, like dance, movement, we can change our body position physically in order to help how we're sensing things internally. So I don't know if you guys have heard of the power pose or whatever, where your arms are up and you're standing in front of a mirror, taking up as much space as possible. And they call it a power pose. And it's supposed to help, I believe, testosterone, actually, like increase that before an interview or something so that you feel more confident. And so the same goes with our nervous system, where dance flows, like doing movement in a mindful way and in a controlled and not necessarily like a high intensity interval training thing, but although sometimes that can help with stress management too, but doing it more in a flow like state and actually affecting different nerves along our lower bodies and our upper bodies can help cue that parasympathetic nervous system as well. And so I'll link both of those because I think they're both awesome and I use both of them, especially when I notice myself being in more of that chronic inflammatory state or chronic sympathetic state where I'm just like a week before finals or something in PT school, or I'm nervous about what a patient's going through or what their doctor's going to say about a certain prognosis for a terminal illness that they've just been diagnosed with or whatever it could be, right? It could be anything, but cueing into those like movement-based things and voluntary things that we can do, whether that be breath work or movement, to help cue that parasympathetic nervous system. So I hope you enjoyed this series. Again, we talked about hot girl walks, so movement, fueling, stress management, obesogens, light, sleep, and our gut microbiome, like gut-brain axis, all contribute to our metabolism. And fine-tuning each of those or being more aware of how they contribute to our glucose levels, I think is super healthy and super beneficial for us when it comes to our metabolism, our long-term, like longevity goals, but then also our short-term, like body composition, aesthetic, and toning goals. And so I hope you learned something. If you've missed other parts of the series, make sure you go back and look at them because, again, there's just, the body's truly magical. And I think this is one of the ways that I'm able to like really see how God has built our bodies and how just like freaking cool it is, right? Like the fact that we have so many things that contribute to helping us to manage our body in a certain way and that we have an impact over those things. And so I just think it's very, very cool. So thank you guys for listening. If you are interested in signing up for our Summer Shorty series, again, it'll be a 4-week program, but it'll be open for a long period of time. That way, if you're traveling in July or August or whatever, you can actually take some of those workouts with you on vacation. So shorty workouts, 10 to 20 minutes, it's going to be super fun. But if you're interested, I'll leave the link in the show notes. And again, I'm thinking about opening it in July, probably July 1st. I'm noticing when I'm recording this today, it's a little over a week away. So I'll probably open it July 1st for those. But again, I'll keep it open till probably about mid-August, the time that school goes back. And it's, again, completely free. So I hope you guys can join us. Again, thank you guys so much for joining me. If you feel like you benefited from this episode, I would absolutely love it if you could review it, like give it a few stars, a rating. That way it can just be shared with more and more people. If you're more of a visual person, I do put these episodes on YouTube. So I'd love if you could follow along there as well. And again, I do workouts on there and all sorts of other like videos and sort of visual learning demonstrations on there too. So I'd love it if you could follow along there too. And again, just thank you so much for listening. I say it every episode, so I won't exhaust it, but the fact that people are listening to this and that people are learning from this is just, it just makes me feel like very full and smiley inside. And so I just very, very, very much appreciate it. And I'm just so glad to have this sisterhood and misterhood of wellness, people just interested in improving their overall wellness and then working towards those longer term health goals in addition to the shorter term ones. So just thank you, thank you, thank you. It means the absolute world to me. So thank you so much for joining and I'll see you again on the next Wellness Fixes podcast.